You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, Lon. Thought we can start with Jenny and Sumit, who needs to commit.
Sumit needs to commit.
I got that from Kalani, but that was her line in Pillow Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch Pillow Talk, by the way?
I don't watch Pillow Talk.
It is.
I should.
Hilarious. So I tweeted about this, but the context here is when Jenny said she felt vibrations while she was chanting.
I saw that.
Asuelu interpret that as vibrator.
Oh my gosh.
He thought it was a vibrator. Like, I was like, I'm dead. Like, I can't take it.
See, so even their Pillow Talk segment was more entertaining, I take it, than the segment they aired. I think this is forced. I don't think they really need to show any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I just think Sumit does need to commit. He needs to marry her if he wants her to stay. These workarounds that they're doing are just not the way to go. Now it's come to this part where they're trying to get a missionary visa, and y'all are doing too much. They're doing way too much.
That's so extra to like go all the way to being a devotee, a missionary, right? Is that what it is? Didn't I forgot what his title is, but he's like the guru. Or maybe one of the guys that she spoke to told her that she has to be a real devotee before they can consider her to be a Hare Krishna missionary, right? And that will take years.
It takes years.
Yeah.
Right.
And this she was like, nope.
Yeah. And this isn't something to take lightly. And it isn't something to take lightly to begin with, because it's for religious reasons.
Right.
Right. And for them to think that this is a way, like some kind of workaround to circumvent the system, that already to me is already wrong. But I think definitely could benefit from it. But does she want to spend her life in that, I forget the name of the place, but for lack of a better term, the church, she has to be
the temple
there.
Yeah,
the temple, that's it. She actually has to be there, and they do real work there. They pray that prayer there consistently, and they upkeep the temple, and there's all this stuff. And I don't think she's ready to make that kind of change. She's probably thinking, oh, I just need to be a devotee and do this chant. She was already reluctant to do the additional things. She's like, do I have to try to convert people? Look, like, if you're already asking these questions, then you're not ready. You're not ready to be a devotee. You know, and he said, oh, for now, all you got to do is say the chant. And she was so relieved. So then you're not ready. You are not ready to be an actual missionary.
Yeah.
Right. And that made me happy. Like, I don't want them to be apart. I do wish them well, and I want them to get married. But that part made me happy. Like, just go ahead and get married already. And it sucks that Jenny is in this position, because I know she wants to. But look, Jenny, don't waste your life. If this guy isn't going to marry you, then you need to move on. Right. So I was happy that that was a big nope. Like, that's not happening.
I found it very insulting that Sumit actually said this missionary visa is the only way, quote unquote, for Jenny to stay longer. Bitch, you only have to get married to her.
Right.
Like, what do you mean that this is the only way?
It's not the only way.
It makes me think that he really doesn't want to get married, and he's just buying time. Like, what is their end game here? Just to keep renewing the visa, keep exploiting all these loopholes, By the way, there was someone in Reddit that succinctly summarized this. The fact that Jenny thought she could get a missionary visa from attending the temple just one time is extremely insincere and ridiculous and insulting.
Right. Yeah. And it makes me wonder, though, too. I understand the whole parents thing, and I think that's real, and that, you know, for you to be afraid. But part of me is just like, well, maybe they just needed another season, you know, on the show, right? To be on 90 Day the Other Way. Because at this point, I'm not interested in really seeing them. So
yeah,
did they just need another season? And in this season, they're like, well, what are we going to do? Or they probably owe a season and they're like, well, we'll just try this. So I don't know. I'm not interested anymore. You can kind of tell I'm just not interested. And yeah, at this point, you know, I don't want to see what the rest of the season looks like for Sumeet and Jenny. I've seen the previews and it looks like the parents come and the mom treats her like shit. And I'm just like, we do not care.
Just get married.
Just get married. Get fucking married already.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of married, Armando and Kenny.
Wasn't that sad?
I was teary-eyed. Let's just put it that way. I did choke when I watched Kenny talk about how he left his family behind. It kills me from inside. Mm-hmm. It's sincere. That scene is so sincere. And for his daughter to, well, let him know that she feels that she's the glue that's holding the family together, that's also very heartbreaking.
Yeah. So there's a lot of emotions to unpack with Kenny, right? There's missing your family is already difficult enough. So missing your family is already difficult enough. But then the guilt that he feels from hiding that from Armando, trying to keep a happy face to make Armando happy and not make Armando feel bad about it. That's a whole nother thing. I'm not going to be the one to tell him what to do. He probably knows what's best. But if I were a betting person, I would bet that if he shared this with Armando, it wouldn't be as bad as he thinks. I think Armando loves him. And it's easy to understand that, right? It's easy to understand, I miss my family. You can say that at any time and people will understand.
Yep.
Right? So I don't think that's something he should hide. But I do understand where he's coming from and why he would want to hide that. Because he does. He cares about Armando and he doesn't want Armando to feel that he's regretting the decision to move there. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. And I thought one of the realest scenes of the series was that scene in the vehicle when he was speaking with his daughter and they both had tears to share about what happened. And it's an interesting thing when you think about 90 Day the Other Way, they don't really show too much what's happening stateside once the people leave. They do focus on the couples, but we got to see a glimpse of that. And his daughter shared that with him. That, you know, you were the glue. And once you left, it seems like I'm the only one trying to keep this family together. And for her to share that and to express it, and when the words came out of her mouth, for her to just to lose it was really touching. And it was sad. But at the same time, this is what happens. And they don't share this side too much on the show, but this is happening to the families that stay behind and have to deal with it. So they show it a little bit sometimes when family's dropping off the person at the airport, but I don't think it really hits the way it did until Kenny's daughter broke down on the ride to his place.
I have to say, I love their scenes. It feels very sincere.
Sincere.
And very real.
Yes.
Relatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I just can't wait to see what happens next. I wonder, do you know why his daughter came to visit? Was there a reason behind it? Maybe I didn't catch it.
You know, I didn't catch it either. Now that you mentioned, I figured that he missed them and that this was more of a trip for her to see him and say, hey, how are you doing? I'll have to revisit that. Yeah, I don't think there was a special occasion for it.
Yeah. Well, maybe she just misses him and decided to fly over.
That's what I gathered too. Who wouldn't want to visit Mexico,
right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like with Kenny being there and living there, I don't think he finds it as exciting, which brings up another point for me. But anyways, his daughter is excited and his daughter does want to go. Mm-hmm. So like, I think And, you know, this brings me to my own experience. When I came to Seattle, I was also there, a relationship took me there. And when I was in that relationship, I didn't get to see Seattle for what it was. I only got to see it through the lens of my relationship. Mm. And I think maybe Kenny, it's great to focus on your relationship. Your relationship is a beautiful thing. It's a much more beautiful thing than the relationship I had while I was in Seattle. But I think if he just takes a step back and goes, holy shit, I live in Mexico, and do the things that his daughter is excited, that anybody is excited to go to Mexico for, right? There are people who are going down to Mexico to travel because there are good things about Mexico,
yep.
Right? Like there's Puerto Vallarta and the Riviera Maya, and there's just all these cool things. And maybe, you know, he might have to buy a plane ticket or whatever, but you're in fucking Mexico, dude. You're not in America anymore. Like, take advantage of this time, and you get to take advantage of it with the person you love. So I get that he's homesick, and maybe he does. Maybe they just don't show it on camera. But for me, I wasn't appreciating the city I was in because I was just seeing it through the lens of my relationship. But we ended up breaking up. And then once I started making my own friends and then going out, experiencing the nightlife, experiencing the foodie culture over there, and then just really taking a step back and going, holy shit, I'm in fucking Seattle. There's like the Fremont Troll, the Space Needle, Bruce Lee's gravesite, the waterfront. There was just so much to love about Seattle. And I fucking fell in love with it. When it was time for me to come back home to the Bay Area, I was just so in love with Seattle. So like, take this time, Kenny, if you still listen to this podcast, to enjoy the experience that you have, and you get to enjoy it with Armando, right? And I understand that he's homesick and stuff. Maybe a trip back home will do the trick, or his daughter visiting will do the trick. But there are people who are literally like dying to come, not literally dying, but who would wish to come to Mexico. So take that into account for what it's worth and find ways to enjoy your time there.
That message was brought to you by Visit Mexico. Just kidding.
Mexico Air.
We're not sponsored by Visit Mexico or Seattle, but if you're listening to this, Mayor of Seattle, I think Lon would be a great ambassador. In fact, I'm just like you, Lon. I think in a different context, when I visit Seattle for work, which is almost every other month, you know, many years ago, it was different, right? When you see just one side of Seattle, the financial district. Then when you start hanging out with people there, you know, hanging out with the locals, someone who actually lives in Seattle or a suburb outside of it, then you'll see other parts of Seattle that is amazing. So Seattle Mayor, if you're listening, we would love to be ambassadors of Seattle, if not the great state of Washington. Anyway, speaking of Washington, this is a
speaking
good
segue. Speaking of Washington, good segue. Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah. Lon, I know you're going to have a lot to say, but let me just start with this. If you have a loved one, like someone like a Victor, someone like a how Victor is to Ellie, right? With all those baggage that comes with Victor. If you have a loved one that is somehow experiencing or trapped in a Cat 5 hurricane, would you fly to him or her or them?
I definitely would. Yeah, would I definitely you? Would.
Even so though, here's the thing. Even though this person is a cheater.
Let me take a step back.
And a domestic abuser.
So one, I wouldn't date that person to begin with. But,
we're talking about Ellie here.
In a hypothetical situation in which I have, I'm taking now to account, if you love someone and you care about them, and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, which I believe is the headspace Ellie is in, she does. She wants to marry this guy. Then yes, I totally would. For somebody that I love that much, I totally would. And I compare this to, what was his name? Was it Andrew? Who, when he was separated from his fiance and he went to Mexico, and we talked about it at length. We were like, he should fly out. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where the expectation was there. We were like, you need to do everything to get there, right?
Yeah.
That's how I would feel, right? Yeah. If I did love somebody that much, right? You know, turning a blind eye to Victor's imperfections.
Okay.
Right? And if I was in Ellie's position where I love this person that much, I cared about this person that much to want to spend the rest of my life with them, Yeah, I would be doing everything I could to try to get to them if I had the financial resources available, to try to get to them to make sure they were okay. So I feel that, you know, I feel that. But for me, what really spoke to me about the scene with Ellie was, again, the MVP, right? This is what I mean by, like, you don't need to support the relationship, but you can still be supportive of your friend.
Oh, Hiromi.
Yeah, she disagrees with the whole Victor thing, and you're gonna, like, just put all your eggs in one basket and turn your life around for this person who is, like, abusive, and you know that he cheats, but at the same time understands that her friend needs her at this moment, and that her friend has genuine feelings about this person, and so she's gonna be supportive of her friend, and she's gonna be there for her friend. She's gonna be a shoulder to cry on and an ear to listen to, right? So whenever people ask me certain things like this in this scenario where they're like, well, fuck that, I don't think, you know, this person should be thing. You can still support your friends in these circumstances, even if you don't like the person they're dating, even if you disagree with their relationship, you can still be there for them, you know?
Yeah. I guess I have a different take on this because I feel like I'm being protective of Ellie as someone looking from outside. So I can't compare myself to Hiromi, obviously. Hiromi is the MVP already. She's like how Jojo was to Angela. Again, as an ordinary citizen, I don't know if it was a good idea for Ellie to go to ground zero of a catastrophe. Because unless she has some experience dealing with, you know, major natural disasters, I don't know if it's safe for her. She might dig a deeper hole for herself. She might.
What good is she actually doing?
Right. That's where I'm coming from. I totally get where you're coming from, Lon. I think that's a valid reason to go over, because you love someone, regardless of what they've done in their past. You want to look for them, right? But like I said, from an outsider's point of view, I don't think it was the wisest idea. I figured there must be other ways that she can go about it without having to drop everything. It's almost like she kamikaze her way to Providencia without any prior experience.
Not good. That's not good TV, Nadia.
That's true. I know. How did I not
go
see
there
that
now?
I know, right? Producers like,
we need to go.
We need to go, and she's like, it's not safe. No. We will.
Right.
It's not, okay. Yeah.
It's not safe.
At one point, too, I thought. Because remember she checked in into a motel, I would say, or a backpacker's lodge. And there was two twins, twin beds.
Yeah.
I thought, damn, is the producer staying with her? Like, I'm pretty sure there's this one guy with the camera taking the flights with her, right? She had like, what, two, three connecting flights, right? From Washington to Dallas to, was it Medellin? And then from Colombia to some island, and then it was like, wow, this cameraman is really dedicated.
Yeah. At least, right? Because then there's the lighting, and then the sound person with the boom mic holding
right
and all that stuff.
Right,
they got a production crew out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, it wouldn't be good TV if she had just given up and looked after herself.
Right.
Or look out for herself.
It would be like Andrew Nemira again, where she's just making phone calls the entire time, and then I don't know what to do, right? Or she's like, I did what I could. Let's go to the Space Needle today.
Like, let's buy back my house.
Yeah,
or buy back my business.
Buy back the restaurant or whatever. Start advertising, right? We make the best, what is it, pizzas here?
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, okay. Yeah.
We're laughing at a tragedy. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry,
sorry,
guys.
Folks. That's not funny. We sympathize with them, obviously.
I swear we're full of compassion. Yeah. I swear. All right. Should we talk about Alina and Steven with a V?
Oh, I think.
Dude, I think I want to quote you on this. If you had to go do what Alina is doing to Steven, then it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you have to spy on your loved ones, is it worth it?
Yeah, to me, it looks set up. I don't know.
Dude,
it
especially
looks set up.
Especially after you said she's enrolled in BYU, and I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, this is a done deal. She's converting. Or at least that's what it looks like.
I don't know. So part of me just thinks this is set up for the show and for the ratings. And I think it would be more genuine if they just let the relationship play out. They're already a young, interesting couple. The whole Mormon thing is a cool little twist. And it's kind of funny to see how already without the bait friend, let's call it a bait friend, right? Without the bait friend, you already see the different conflicts. Like, we need to stay in separate rooms. And can I like date other women? And like, there's already these cool, interesting little quirks to their relationship already. Like, why are we putting this little subplot where I got to trick him? I got to trick him to see if he's faithful to me. We don't need all that. Like, there's already enough cool little quirks in their relationship, being that he's a Mormon and that he's got this huge secret that he's not a virgin. Can we watch it play out? They're trying too hard, I think, to make
good TV.
Yeah,
they're being very extra.
Yeah, they're like trying to sensationalize it. You know, oh, well, I have this friend and she's really cute. She's one of my cutest friends. Let's see if he flirts with, like, come on, are you serious?
By the way, Lon, is it really called bait friend or catfish?
Either way, because I see it as like bait, right? Yeah. And I don't know, maybe they kind of liked the whole jealousy angle from, was it Julia who was jealous? Julia.
Who's Julia?
Julia was jealous of what's his face from previous.
Oh, Brandon.
Brandon and Julia, right. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, TLC must have really liked that. That there's this jealous fiance, or excuse me, wife.
Wait a minute. They're trying to get us to connect the dots that Russian women are just jealous.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's not cool.
We don't need that. We don't just see all that. Like, Julia at least seemed like genuine. Like, you could tell Julia's, you know, has that kind of insecurity. And she even comes out and says it on the tell-all that she's been cheated on in the past. And that's what kind of led to her insecurity. But then now to bring up this storyline where she's that jealous or doesn't trust him this much that she has to have a cute friend. Even the words coming out of my mouth sounds ridiculous. Like, oh, yeah. I have this really cute friend. Let's have her chat him up and see if he like flirts back and stuff. This is like the bullshit ass stuff that you see on like prank channels on YouTube. I'm so over it, right? Their relationship is interesting enough.
Agree. I don't know why there's this subplot, though. I think it's interesting, I guess, when it plays out, whether he will bite the bait.
We'll see. And again, that's just me thinking this might be fake. And if it's a real thing, if she's really this insecure and it turns out to be a real thing, then yeah, I do want to see it play out. Well, is he going to flirt with her? But I don't know. Anyway, sorry I cut you off.
No, all good. Yeah, I've nothing else to say except it's cool that her mom has a furniture store.
Hook it up.
All right. Are we ready to talk about Evelyn and Corey? What, dude? I haven't said my punchline. That's the punchline? Evelyn,
it's just so funny to me. This is hilarious. So this to me doesn't seem that scripted. Maybe the twist seems a bit scripted, but I like how
it's fake. Dude, come on. It's
the prom dress thing is fake, you think?
Yeah, yes, I think that's fake. I think
it's real.
It can go both ways. Like, I can see why Corey did that, even though it wasn't the nicest thing to do. But I think he knows that his pockets are gonna start burning a hole.
Right.
So he's like, well, let me mitigate this by offering up a dress that happens to be my sister's prom dress that she threw in the trash the other day. And like, he didn't even bother to dry
clean
it.
Yeah. He didn't fix any of the tears.
Yeah.
And somebody noticed on social media too that he put it in a bridal bag. Like, you know, the bags
fake
that
it?
Come. To fake it.
Oh, man, Corey.
He goes, like, the nerve of this guy to actually like put it in like a bridal gown bag. Yeah. That seemed realistic. That's something I think is realistic that somebody would do to pass it off.
Well,
to pass it off as a wedding gown.
I thought you meant like it could be realistic because some people buy their prom dresses in bridal stores.
Oh, right.
Yeah, especially if they want a white prom dress, they would go to like a bridal boutique and just buy it off the rack.
Right. That was such a big faux pas too for him to be so unaware that, one, you don't do that.
Mm.
She even said it. She said it's bad luck yeah. for you to see the dress.
Yeah.
And then two, the nerve of you to pick out the dress for her. I think that's one of the most exciting things that somebody can do is yeah. to pick out their dress, to go and to find the dress or to go dress shopping with their friends. It's like a ritual in the wedding industry. One, I think the wedding industry is already a sham, right? The things they do to monetize certain rituals and stuff is already a sham.
It's a money like, grab.
It's yeah. a money grab. It totally is. But at the same time, I understand the fun part of it. I understand that people grow up with these ideas and they have these ideas of how the wedding should be and what they're going to do. And I think the whole bridal party and dress shopping and picking it out and going to the store, I think that's a whole thing. And you're going to deprive her of that, you know, the nerve, right? And then to make matters worse, I get that he's trying to save money. Don't get me wrong, but there are other ways to save money. Don't take that away from your fiance, or how we what we later find out is they're already married, so your wife, but don't take that away from her. You don't take that away. That's like taking the bachelor party away from you, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm not saying the bachelorette party and the wedding gown rituals are equivalent, but that would be the equivalent, I think, because guys don't go out, we don't dream about getting fitted for a tux, right? We think about the bachelor party all the time.
Yeah.
But these rituals that women have, picking out the dress and going out and having champagne and coming out and the mom crying and the sisters crying, oh, you look so beautiful in that dress. They don't take that away. So for him to not only like try to take that away, but also to say, oh, here's a dress. My sister wore it, which is for real because it showed the picture of her at prom or
yeah.
her prom date or whatever.
So that's one. I'm not sure if people are okay with the reaction that Evelyn and the sisters gave, just because it comes off as snobbish almost, like, oh, this dress is not good enough for us. And maybe if Corey is being sincere about this, then their reaction is so uncalled for. Instead of being like, oh, that's sweet, but no thanks, at least be a little bit grateful, I would say, or gracious about it. But it just appears that Evelyn is too uppity for the dress. And I'm like, I don't know. Let's just put it this way. I like to think that Corey and Evelyn are probably nice people, right? Subjective.
Yes.
But the angle that they're trying to play up with Evelyn being this gold-digging, uppity bitch is not cool. If that's the angle that the producers are trying to like highlight and trying to play up. Because that's how it comes across.
Right.
And then with the twist, I'm like, okay, now they really want us to be, oh, are you Team Corey or Team Evelyn? Now do you feel sad for Evelyn because she's actually his wife and he went off to cheat on her even though they were on a break?
Mm.
I don't know. This storyline is really intricate in that sense.
Yeah. I want to take it back to something you mentioned earlier about Evelyn and her sister's reactions and possibly Evelyn being uppity, right? Because mm-hmm. I kind of see these things on Twitter and on Instagram and stuff too. And a lot of it, I think, comes from her family being in a third world country. Mm-hmm. And for that, I disagree with those people that would be like, oh, this is too good for you because you're in a third world country. I liken that to people who argue that people on food stamps shouldn't be buying steak. Mm. Are you telling me that just because they're from a third world country, that they're not allowed to dream, that they're not allowed to have the best that they believe that is for them? I'm not saying they have to go balling out, right? But like when people say that, oh, well, she's from a third world country, she should be grateful for a prom dress. No. So you're saying, right, let's make things equal. Would you accept a prom dress? You know, a used one at that, right? That's torn and tattered for your wedding. Why do you want the same? Why do you want the same for someone just because they live in a third world country? Mm. Is that fair? That's what you're going to say, or that's what you're going to use as your justification, that just because she's from a third world country, that she doesn't deserve the dress that she wants or the dress that she thinks she would look good in or that she's probably dreamt of.
Yeah.
And yeah, she does come off you know, as ungrateful, and she does come off as always wanting the best, like she's a fucking princess and all that stuff. I get that. And like you said, they really do play it up, because yeah, I think she really is a nice person. But to those people out there who think that just because she's in a third world country, or she was born and lives in a third world country, that she doesn't deserve to have the dress that she wants or the wedding that she wants, right? Really, really take a good look at your privilege speaking there. Because yeah, I think I liken that to people who are like, oh, well, they're on food stamps. How dare they buy a steak? They don't deserve to eat a steak. You want lesser for them. It's already bad enough that they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So like, what is it? I don't understand that. Right.
Yeah. You know,
people who want lower for people who are experiencing the bottom.
Yeah. Right? No, totally hear you there, Lon. I think why these people are saying that, and this is why I avoided saying third world country, because I agree with you. She deserves to have whatever she wants to have. Right. Like a girl can dream. Why I think people are saying that, and not that I'm tolerating this, but it's because of what happened in the previous episode where she demanded that this wedding,
50K wedding,
right?
Yeah, when and you that's can where, afford,
right? And this is where now it triggers people, because then those same people that says, oh, you're not grateful or you're not gracious. I mean, I would say, yeah, some of them are probably privileged. But then there are also some of us who's like, well, we can't even afford a 50K wedding and we're from a developed country. Why are you like gagging for a 50K wedding? Are you special? Are you the queen of Ecuador? So I can see where those people are coming from, but I can also see how people are just being appalled by her behavior and saying like, hey, you're from a third world country. Why are you like asking for more? I think to those people, yeah, I would say definitely check your privilege. But I think because of how it played out from the previous episode, I can see why people were triggered by
right,
the way she reacted.
She's not winning anyone on her, in her
exactly
favor.
Yeah. If she had said, yeah, thank you, and accepted, but then behind his back, he's like, no, I'm not going for this, I think people would still be okay with it, because at least she's being gracious about it.
The scene could have played out better.
Right. If she and her sister's like, oh, thank you, maybe we can take this dress, shorten it, or put a cape over it or something, like kind of style it up and turn it from a prom dress to a wedding dress. Maybe that would be awesome, because that's a win-win. That would save Corey some money, and that would probably save her some money as well, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, and Corey wouldn't have to see the final product. But because this is 90 Day Fiancé, it's never going to be a win-win situation. It's never going to be idealistic. It's always going to be extra drama.
Yeah.
Scripted messiness, dumpster fire. And I think they're being, I hate to say this, but they're being successful because it generates this type of reaction.
Yeah.
And that's
these conversations.
Can, right. Yeah. And you can see the ugliness from people saying like, oh yeah, she's from a third world country. She doesn't deserve it. Come
to
on.
To be fair though, he could have pulled out an amazing dress, and her sisters would still have been like, it's fucking ugly.
Right.
They just don't like him.
Because they don't like him.
Yeah.
So he could be pulling out a fucking Vera Wang.
You're right.
And they'll be like,
because it's from him.
Vera Wang?
Yeah. Because it's from him, they'd be like, put that back in the bag. Ain't yeah, nobody trying to see that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They will find excuses.
They'll definitely find an excuse. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that's a great call out, Lon. I really, really appreciate that. And yeah, I did see that on social media too. And I'm like, okay. But I can kind of understand because of how the previous episode went. But however, speaking of privilege, what about that Ariella?
Ooh. Okay. That was... Vinny shouldn't have done that in the first place.
Done what? The chokehold or inviting?
Let's start from the beginning, because I was already jumping to the dinner, but you're right. Like, let's take it back to the beginning. Hit him getting extra aggressive. So, all right, but let's take it even further back than that. Leandro could have been more reassuring, I think. And Leandro, he said enough to leave doubt. Right. I think if you're trying to make the husband feel secure, this friendship that you're trying to establish or this trust that you're trying to gain, now that he's married and has a baby, would go off better if you just said, look, like, you have nothing to worry about. What we had was in the past. I'm not trying to hit on her. I ain't trying to sleep with her, whatever. You can totally be that way. And instead, he's giving really vague answers like, well, you just don't get over somebody overnight, right? Well, but y'all have been broken up for a while,
he,
dude.
Like, he said, oh, no, you have nothing
feelings
to worry
just
about.
Don't go away or something. He interjected these little things, right? Like, that put enough doubt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought the only thing he said was, you don't have anything to worry about. And I thought, okay, is that a yes or a no? Did
right.
you sleep with her or
and he
not?
Said that, but he, and he said that after prefacing it with these little things that weren't very reassuring. So if you were reassuring and then you said you have nothing to worry about, different story, completely yeah. different story. Mm-hmm. But he says, oh, well, feelings just don't change just because y'all break up, you know, and then you say, but you have nothing to worry about. Motherfucker, not after what you just told me? Like, no, what are you talking about? So like, dude, Leandro, just fucking, even if you gotta lie, even if you have to lie, which is probably what I would do. I've never been in that position, but if I was, where maybe I had some unresolved feelings, but you know what? She's married now and she has a child with him and I'm staying in your place. Of course, I'm gonna be like, yeah, you know, what we had was in the past. You can trust me. I ain't trying to hit on her because I'm not. I'm not trying to get with her. I'm not trying to sleep with her because I'm not. That's truthful, right? And if he says, do you still have feelings for her? Fucking lie, dude. I would be like, nah, we are done. We are done, done. You ain't got to worry about me. And then I can say, you have nothing to worry about, right? But Benny inviting his ex was already a dumb move. That was already a dumb move. Don't do that. You know, and that was completely see-through. When she saw right through it from the jump, right? Like, why is she coming? This is, you know, a meal for us or whatever. And she already knew what was happening. But the biggest twist was that it backfired and I fucking loved it. And did you see, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Sion?
Yep, Sion.
She's beautiful.
She's hot.
She is beautiful. And I'm not even talking about Ariella. He cheated on her? Like, he cheated on her.
That's like Jay-Z what? Cheating on Beyonce, dude.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So for her to hold on to that Uno card and just bam, whip it out, dude, right when, you know, and it, he didn't even intend for that to happen. And boy, was he sweating. That was good TV for
yeah,
me. I was just
was,
like,
that was a
I
good one.
Loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
You can tell he was so uncomfortable rehashing it too. Because right. here's the thing. It exposes him because the way he started his relationship with his ex-wife is the same way that Ari started her relationship with Beanie, if you think yeah. about it.
Yeah. And for him to be like untrustworthy and stuff, it's because he's insecure about what he did mm. in his past. Mm-hmm. And like the way the metaphor I like to use is you're throwing stones from a glass house.
I thought it's more like game recognized game.
Game recognized game. Yo. Yes. And that too right? applies.
Right?
That too applies, right? But don't try to come and fuck up somebody's couch when your house isn't in order. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. Game recognized game. He throwing stones from a glass house though. And like,
yeah,
but man, my jaw dropped when Sion walked into that restaurant. I'm like, what? She is beautiful.
Yeah, she is. But I guess she's like, what do you call it? The one that got away. So
the one
good
that
for
got
her.
Away. Now I'm curious. What does, because I guess he married the person he cheated on Sion with.
Right. That was his ex-wife that fled Ethiopia with their kid.
Oh.
Yeah. So now it's almost like the producers are trying to get Ariella to do the same to him. To
wow,
like show that history can
right.
repeat itself.
I totally forgot about that little part up there.
Yeah, so I
that
think
was the one.
In the next few episodes, we're going to find out that the baby, I forgot his name, but he's going to need some sort of surgery and Ariella is going to bring him to the US. And I think they're going to allude to the fact that it's almost similar to what happened to Beanie previously.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if you also noticed, but it looks like as hot as Sion is, she looked pregnant.
Did she? I wasn't paying attention that closely.
Again, I could be wrong because I keep getting this wrong. I know she's a dancer, so she has a really great shape, a body shape. But then I noticed that she has a pooch. And I wonder if it's because
a pooch.
I wonder if it's because she's pregnant. Right.
We're not talking like a little puppy, like a pooch.
I don't know why I call it pooch. I'm sorry. A little thump, a little hump. I don't know. A little bump. Hum,
I've heard
bump.
Pooch before. No, you're right. Okay. You're right. I've heard pooch before.
I guess pooch is in reference to people who drink a lot of beer, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I noticed something and I wonder if she has already moved on, you know, and maybe that's why she's comfortable with saying like, oh yeah, Leandro is cute. Maybe she's like, oh, it's just a passing remark. Like, mm-hmm. who cares? But yeah, I like how, okay, first of all, I get why Beanie did that. It's basically to get back at Ariella for inviting her ex. He's like, oh, okay, game on, bitch.
Yeah, tit for tat.
Tit for tat. Like, yeah. I say, game recognized.
And it was like, you could see right through it. And he tried to play it off. Oh, yeah. Well, we're in the area. And no, well, you're just trying to make your wife jealous, bro.
Right. So I think if you watch Pillow Talk, Dean, Tariq's brother.
Tariq's
Dean,
brother.
Yeah. Said that, oh man, it's no longer a love triangle. This is a love square. I thought that was funny. Yeah. So it's super messy, but like I said, this is 90 Day Fiancé. What do you expect? Right. Yeah.
I like how she pushed. Ari pushed. Like, no, because he tried to shut her up. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's like, no, it's only fair. And then Leandro jumps in. It's only fair. So let's hear about it. Yeah, they were gonna have that tea spill, man.
Yeah, and Leandro's probably getting back at him for that chokehold. He was like,
oh yeah,
maybe he cheated on
the chokehold. I didn't even mention that chokehold.
Dude, that was an assault, man. Like, it went from punching practice to like a fucking MMA BJJ.
That was very unsportsmanlike. I didn't like that. Yeah, everybody knows like that in sports, especially if you're into MMA.
Especially if you tap three times, right? Or you're supposed
to
let go.
And he did that multiple times. Right. Like, he did it and then he didn't let go and he did it again.
Yeah.
And he still was choking him out. I think he almost passed out. And I was like, that's a shithole move.
So Dean, once again, from Pillow Talk, said that the reason why Beanie was letting him punch was to test how strong his punch is. And from there, he can gauge if he can take on the guy. And that's why he took him down and chokehold him. And I was like, dude, you're bullying this guy. Because Leandro comes across as a nice academic scholarly guy.
Kind of awkward a little bit.
Yeah, kind of awkward, very nerdy. And I can see his appeal to Ari. But for Beanie to like go all being a big bully to him, like, come on, man. Yeah. I get it. It's probably good TV, but
it was a flex. He was
It was a flex for sure. We didn't need to see that though, but well, we get it, you know. You beat bongos every night. Like, we get it. All right, Lon. That is it for, was it episode 3 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, season 3. What is your WTF moment?
WTF moment was spilling tea at the table. I didn't expect Benny to have like a clean past and stuff like that. But the fact that he used this dinner, was it lunch or dinner? I forget. He used this event, right, to kind of get back at Ari and to have it totally backfire on him. And not just that, but then to be able to see his ex and just be like, holy crap, she's stunning. You know, and to drop this bomb that like he's a cheater. And this whole time he's over here trying to call out his wife for cheating and being suspicious of their relationship. When, dude, you are the one that actually got caught and then married the person you cheated with. This all came full circle in this moment. Yeah. So for me, that was huge WTF moment.
And to be clear, Sion actually said they didn't speak for 2 months and she thought that they would reconcile.
Wow.
Just like how Ari left Leandro and then kind of assumed that they will get back together when she's done traveling.
Right.
Only to be knocked up. That's why I say, man, game recognized game.
Game recognized game.
Well, my WTF moment is Corey giving Evelyn his sister's dirty ass prom dress. Not a cool move. Like you said, it's almost depriving her of the whole experience of shopping around for a wedding dress with her sisters. I get it. He wanted to save money. He's looking after his own wallet. But yeah, I mean, not when you've not dry cleaned that shit, man. Like, come on. At least present
the very least, right?
The very least, like, clean that shit up before you present it.
Not the best move, but even if you were gonna do that, you could have at least cleaned it up,
yeah,
patched it up or something. Like, throwing it in a bridal bag is not enough,
right? Yeah, stay classy, Corey.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also donate to our Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90DayFianceWTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. You can find me at italics, I-I-T-A-L-I-X, on Instagram, or lawn, L-A-N, underscore, like, underscore, L-A-W-N, or on Facebook at italics plays, I-I-T-A-L-I-X, P-L-A-Y-S. I also live stream video games every Friday and Saturday, starting between 9 and 10 p.m. Pacific time, and we stay up all night long.
All night long.
All night.
Just before we let you guys go, I know we're not supposed to talk about He Who Shall Not Be Named. And I'm not talking about Lord Voldemort here. I'm talking about Colty. But go watch 90 Day Singles on TLC if you haven't watched it on Discovery Plus, because he revealed why he was with Jess. And it was, oh my God, it was fucking scumbag move.
Do you have Discovery Plus?
No, I don't, but they're showing the Singles Live. Is it Singles Live? Yeah. 90 Day Singles, maybe. They're showing it on the free to air TLC channel. And I caught last night's episode. I caught it briefly.
Oh.
And Colt and Vanessa, they're not together. They went on a dinner date with Jess and her new husband. Messy.
Messy.
Yeah.
Latest episode?
Yep,
I'm going to watch it.
Yep. And you'll find out what was going on in Colty's mind. But you should also hear what Jess had to say, because it's hella funny. So yeah, I don't want to spoil it here, but go check it out.
Yeah, I have to catch up on that.
Yeah. All right, Lon, anything else?
Oh, that's it.
Cool. All right. Until next time, be kind to one another. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Love y'all. Bye.